Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going. Hey there, fabulous writing teacher, and how are you today? What is up? What's going on? I hope you are doing as well as I am, although it's super rainy and has been for a couple days. So just gonna keep the sunshine in our heart and try to make it through. But I'm so glad you're here today, as I always am. This episode is all about language, and I don't mean language like when you look at your writing standards or your standards and you see language with grammar and conventions and all of that. I just mean the words that we use, and of course, meaning the words we use when we are speaking to our writers. So I want to start by why I'm talking about this and why it is so important. So two reasons. One, it shows our writers what we value. And two, it really helps us to switch our instruction from focusing on the writing to focusing on the writer. So let's get into it. The first thing I want to say is that all that I know and have learned about writing instruction has come from so many different places and so many different people and mentors. And although I would never be able to remember enough to list everything I've ever read from, or you know, everyone I've ever learned from, I can certainly try to include the ones I feel like I've learned the most from. And so, although many of these people have to do with this idea of the language that we use with writing instruction, it's also so. A few of them are just many of the things I've learned overall and are the basis of all that I teach to others about writing. And so really, and I've said before, some of my biggest transitions and advances in writing instruction came from when I first found small moments. I'm trying to remember what exactly it was called, but it was just a document that I found called Small Moments, I think, and it was for narrative writing I want to say it was second grade, but it could have been first grade. And that was written by Lucy Calkins. And then eventually I also used the Units of Study and Writing. That's definitely where I learned most of what I am going to talk about today as far as the language, because of the way teaching points were written and also the way the units talk about conferring with writers. Also, though, Carl Anderson, who I believe also was affiliated with Columbia University, he also has taught me a lot from books that I've read and workshops I've been to about conferring and the way that he engages in conversation with students. But not only has some of Lucy Calkins' work come from working with others such as Donald Greaves and Don Murray, but I have also read books by Donald Greaves, which does, you know, even though, so I'm thinking of this particular book, it's called Writing, Teachers and Children at Work, and although he does not specifically talk about the language and using certain language, when he gives suggestions and provides examples of questions that he has students, they are all written in this way. And so I just wanted to give credit where credit is due. But I have just really found that when working with teachers, this idea of using a certain type of language that I have read and seen in, you know, from so many others is one of the keys to guiding your instruction towards the writer. And so I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned them. And then just a side note, there are quite a few others. I will not name them all, I'm sure, but Nancy Atwell, Jennifer Saravallo, Matt Glover, Katie Woodray, so many others that I have learned from. So the first reason I shared that the language we use in writing instruction is so important is that it shows what we value. There is a quote from Noam Chomsky where he says, "The structure of language determines not only thought, but reality itself." And I find that so interesting. And I definitely went down a rabbit hole reading up on Noam Chomsky. He is a professor and renowned linguist. But it really is true. And, you know, I've also read Brené Brown, a lot of work by Brené Brown, and she talks much about language as well. And one of her, she also says language is hugely important because language not only communicates emotion, it shapes actually what we're feeling. And so those two quotes are a little bit different in terms of the one about from Brené is really focused on what it does to you. And so she talks a lot about what you say ends up being what you then think and what your body feels and how you feel. And to me, Chomsky's quote could be for anyone. And that might not be the way he meant it, but I think it's true both ways. Though language is going to affect us. So what we say is going to affect us. And then what we say or what we hear from others is also going to affect us. And what we say is going to affect others. And so when we think about, you know, think about this just in your everyday life and the way someone speaks to you. So if I think about, you know, my children and the things you compliment them on, and, you know, I've heard a lot about and read a lot about, you know, if you only ever say one thing to your child, then that's what they're going to think that you find value in. And then that's what they're going to value in themselves. So if you're only ever saying, "Oh, you look so pretty today," or "You look so handsome today," or "I love the outfit you're wearing," or "Your hair looks nice," and you're only ever complimenting looks, then that's what they're going to value, right? And it's going to be the same in anything that you do. And so when we speak to our writers, but only about their writing, which I really think happens most often in classrooms, then the writing itself is what we're valuing. So for example, if I start a conversation with the student by saying, "Tell me what you're writing about," or "Read your writing to me," all of a sudden, my focus goes to them. Now, I'm not saying that you can't ask them what they're writing about. However, there are ways to... That's just one example, first of all, and there are ways to format it so that it sounds more focused on them. But so let me, you know, just go back to what I was saying, sorry, that, you know, right away we go to the writing. We're looking at the writing. We're talking about the writing, and then that's where we go, right? It's hard to get away from it. So it's like you start talking about what it's about. You start talking about like the story itself or the topic itself instead of actually what happened in order to get that on the page. And we can get really wrapped up in that. And then when we say, "It looks like there's not much detail here. I think that you need to add more about this." And then maybe we give them a suggestion. Or we just talk through, "What else can we say? Tell me what happened. How can we put it in there?" Again, we're focusing on just this piece of writing and not anything that happened to get that writing there. However, if we shift our language to focus more on the writer and even more specifically the actions of the writer, it is going to show that we value them and what they do. And that it also shows them that in order to get writing on a page, a writer has to do things, right? And this is how you get writing done. This is how you become a writer, is you make decisions and you have actions that help your work. So if I go back to starting a conference, and instead of saying, "Read your writing to me," or "Tell me about your writing," if I say, "What's going on for you with writing today?" Or Carl Anderson says, "How's it going?" Or if you say, you know, you take a look and maybe you already know because they told you before writing started, I'm starting a new draft or I'm going to go back and revise. And so if you have more of that information, you could still say, how is it going? But you might be more specific, whether in a follow-up or with the first question, say, you know, what have you decided to do for your revising today? Or what are you focusing on with revision? And that's for students who understand what that means, right? We have to teach the things that we're talking about. But just to, you know, really focus on what we're saying to them, I just want to provide some examples for that. So if they are revising and you are asking them, why did you choose that? You know, what did you notice about your writing that made you want to add this or change this or take this out? If a student is in a planning stage, you might ask them, what is on your mind? What are the thoughts that you have so far? Or how do you think you will best plan this out? Or how will your writing be organized? You might ask them, how are they thinking about their reader in order to decide what to write? Who is their audience? So all of these things are focusing on them. What are they doing? What are their decisions? What are they thinking? Instead of what is on the paper. Now, yes, what's on the paper and the writing itself is a tool to help understand what the writer is doing, but the language we use is showing that we value them and their decisions. And therefore, they know that they are the ones in control. They are the ones who you are trying to support. Not that you're just trying to have this piece, you know, that looks a certain way or a piece that is perfect. It's that we know that and we are showing them that they are the ones that are making that happen. And the second reason that I think the way we speak and the language we use in writing instruction is so important is that it really does help change our focus, move our focus away from writing and to the writer. And it kind of seems like I already explained that in the beginning when I talked about what you show that you're valuing. Because if you think back to what I was just talking about, clearly you can see how we begin to focus on the writer, you know, and yes, it's showing them what we value, but it's also helping us to think about the writer. And so let me just explain what I mean in case you haven't listened to any other episodes. When I like to compare to sports. So when I look at a piece of writing that a student has done, whether they've gone through the whole writing process or not, but independently done written a piece of writing, I can use that as a tool to assess their writing behaviors and their writing actions and their writing skills. In the same way that a soccer coach can assess a soccer player by watching their game. And I like to use that because when you allow students to play a game, or not allow, but when students play a game, they are not receiving any assistance. The coach might yell from the sidelines, but let's be honest, it doesn't do anything. They can barely even hear you. Okay. And hopefully they don't hear their parents, but they are just doing it on their own. And this is what you can see is truly mastered when they're able to do certain things within a game. It shows you what they understand as far as how the game works, defense, offense. It shows you their skills and how they, you know, control a ball, how they can shoot a goal. It shows you their confidence, you know, how willing they are to make contact, all sorts of things. And that's what I like to think about as a piece of writing. So I know we were just talking about conferring and speaking with a writer, and that also gives you a lot of information. But I say this because for me, everything else that happens with the writer and the things that I teach them and the way I talk to them in a conference is what is helping them to then make that piece better and better and better. And so I don't worry about what the piece is going to look like. I don't concern myself with making sure that their writing piece has whatever it is I'm worried about. I just use that as an assessment. Right. So like the soccer coach doesn't, you know, think that there's any way he can control what's going to happen in a game. He might want something to happen, but he just has to wait and see. And that's how I like to think about about it. And that's why I don't worry about seeing every piece of writing that a student does. I just worry about seeing a piece of writing at some point because it allows me to see what they are mastering, what they are applying. Okay. So when I think about teaching the writer, I don't have to worry about what's on the paper. I just use that to inform what I need to do to help the writer. And then I say, okay, this is what they need help with. These are the mini lessons that I'm going to teach. This is what I'm going to set, you know, talk with them about setting a goal for their writing. And this is what I'm going to focus on when I meet with them. And so that brings me back then to that language. And this is why I think this is so important, because oftentimes it is, this is the biggest transition, is switching from writing to writer, from focusing on the writing and the outcome to focusing on the writer and growing them as writers. Just like a coach needs to grow a soccer player, right? You teach them all these different things, but you know that there are certain things that you're focusing on the most because that's what they need. And it's difficult to do that individually when you're just starting this in writing, but you can do a whole class. So, okay, back to it. So when we use language that focuses on the writer and their actions, then we are going to have to ultimately focus on them and not the writing. It takes us out of the writing or away from the writing, and it puts us on the writer. So for example, when you're doing teaching points, and this is really coming straight from the units of study in writing, you will say something like, writers use describing words to help their reader envision what they're writing about. That's really a poorly worded teaching point. But you hear in the beginning, I say, writers do this, right? And then I explain why. Instead of saying, describing words are in narrative writing to help the writing be stronger, right? That's all about the writing. We want the teaching point to be about the writer. What does the writer do? So I'm about to teach you and show you what a good writer does for blank. It could be for planning, could be for revising, it could be for drafting, it could be for editing, it could be for anything. And there are different things that you're going to teach, but you want to keep the language of the writer. You want to focus on the writer with what you say, and it's all about what they do. And then that language of a teaching point can also be used in a conference. So many of the questions that I used, or the statements I might have just shared in the beginning about showing what we value, those were all things that you would discuss and things you would say during a conference in order to get information from the writer and see what they're doing. But if you also are going to teach them something in the conference, then you can use that teaching point. It could be a past teaching point, a previous one, or it could be one that you haven't taught yet because now they need this or they're ready for this. So then you would say, you know, I notice how, first of all, you would give a compliment and it would be based on what they did as a writer. And then you might say, I notice that you have, the events of your story. So if I go back to narrative writing, you have your events of your story, and you definitely have remembered and included the different parts of your story or the steps to your story. What I notice is that as a reader, I really don't get much of a feeling for what is happening or what it sounded like, or I can't envision it. And remember, good writers use describing words, and this is only one example, but use describing words in order to help their readers to be able to do that. So you can use that language, and it really makes such a difference. I really think this is one of the biggest keys to switching your instruction to a more student-centered, from a more traditional type of writing instruction. So my challenge to you, my dear teacher, is to try to apply this switch in language in your writing, whether it be conferences or teaching points in your mini lessons. I want you to think about the actions of the writer and try to use those words in your instruction. Linked in the show notes is a resource for you. It is providing examples of the way you might phrase things and then the way you can change that phrasing to be more focused on the writer. So be sure to grab it before I might be putting it up for sale. And just so you know, I talked about the rain earlier, and it's taking me quite a while in and out to record this episode, but now the rain has stopped and it's actually brighter outside at 6:30, even though the sun will be setting in an hour. It's brighter than it's been all day. So it's wonderful. All right. Thanks for joining me. Hey again. I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.